Yeah, that stupid bitch. He's a stupid bitch. What a stupid bitch. That stupid bitch.
Welcome to another episode of Stupid Bitches Say What, the Aussie podcast about everything and nothing, but always with wine, and your hosts, Sean Beano Hipkins and Sky Lee Collett. This week, it's my fave, pop culture. Whee!
Settle in, cut up the sound, and relax to our soothing voices as Sky attempts to limit the spoilers while she shares her love slash obsession with one of her favourite sci-fi shows, Orphan Black. While I chat about the dastardly inappropriate and downright hilariously awful comedy series, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Stick around, stupid bitches. And what are you drinking, Sky?
Oh, I'm so glad you are, Sean. So full disclosure, as we usually do, double podcast tonight. We've got two back-to-back episodes because we have a whole bunch of wedding festivities coming up very soon.
It's funny though, because when we do a double, pop culture is usually the second one. We never usually start with pop culture.
I know, right? We're out of sync because we've had the Eurovision special.
So we're usually more blind for this.
Yes, yes. Well, we're sober for this, and I'm trying to maintain a reasonable level of drunkenness throughout this, because then we've got Back in Time, and Back in Time tends to be a bit factual, so I've got to read my notes and shit. I can't be like, mind you, I'm drinking red wine next, but I digress. So this evening I've decided to start on a beer. It's a James Squire 150 Lashes Pale Ale. There's a bit of a story behind it. The reason I'm drinking it out of, I'll hold it up for people who are watching on YouTube and Spotify. It's my Stein glass from Oktoberfest 2015 from the German Club. When we went one year, I'm pretty sure you were there that year, when we went to Oktoberfest at the German Club, and you get this Stein that goes with it. But the reason I'm drinking it out of a glass and not the bottle like a normal person, is because they're all the yucky leftover beers that have been recovered from the parties that I've had at my house recently, stuck in the esky. No one's got them out. And then I said to Tyler, fuck's sake, can you clean those fucking eskies out? And then
they have a nice film over
it. Just tip the water out and there's hundreds of beers out there. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to drink those pale ales tonight. I didn't purchase them. Somebody left them here.
Waste not, want not.
But I can't drink them out of the bottle because they've got a dirty, nasty, rusty.
Yeah.
No, but it doesn't stop the beer from being okay.
Exactly.
Right?
If the beer flows, in it goes.
Oh my God, I love that. You're a poet and you didn't know it.
Oh, I knew it.
Pray tell, Sean, what are you drinking this evening?
Well, I am starting with the reds, but I wanted to show off this little fancy cooler I got from Naked Wines.
Oh,
little
you
freebie.
And your merch. You and your freebie merch.
It's a bit of a bitch to get the bottle out of, though.
Oh, you look like you're very strange.
I know. I should just spat on it a little bit.
Let's get to the gym and build your muscles up, please.
Well, speaking of which, we are starting the Natural Transformer Challenge. Have you seen that guy?
You and your fucking challenge. If I had a dollar.
If I lost a kilo for every challenge, I'd be fucking skinny. So, yes, it's a Robert Oatley Grenache Shiraz.
Hi, Robert.
Mourvedre.
Oh, that's a good one.
Mourvedre.
Wrap your tongue around that bastard.
It's a GSM.
And
it's from McLaren Vale. And I'll have you know, it's 2019.
Do you know what? I've had a gut full of McLaren Vale. It seems like every time I drink wine, it's a fucking McLaren Vale. Where is McLaren Vale?
Let me go.
It has to be Victoria. It has to be.
Well, we've been keeping the winemakers of McLaren Vale in a job lately.
Yeah, we have indeed. I'd agree with that.
McLaren Vale.
Excuse us while we...
It's in South Australia, I have you
think,
know.
What did I say? I know I said Victoria, didn't I?
Yes.
Boom.
Stupid bitch.
Oh, well, that sounds lovely. And how's your week been?
Let me taste it for you.
Okay, taste it, please. let's give it the old taste.
It's nice.
Two sips.
I do like to chew my red a little bit before I have it.
I always chew my red. Always have, always will.
And it's nice. There's no shivers. It's nice. It's got a nice fruity taste. Grape, if you will.
Rolls around on the palate.
It does. Aromas of toffee.
Oh, lovely.
Look, the week's been all right. I had my my biopsies.
Oh, shit. You didn't even tell me how that went. Did it go
on Thursday.
Ooh.
Can you see it?
It just looks like you've got a bit of sunburn.
Yeah, well, it's 4 stitches in the lip.
Oh, shit. Did it hurt like a motherfucker?
It was a bit, what's the word, irritating yesterday. And then she took a chunk out of my gum as well to do a biopsy on that. And that's okay, but it's just like here now and you can taste the metallicness of the blood, you know, that.
Oh, gross. Taste.
So it's all right. It's just a bit of a bitch to eat. But it was more the sensation. And when she numbed my lip, it numbed up a part of it. And she's like, can you feel that? And I'm like, no. But then the part where she started to cut,
Oh, this is so gross.
I could actually feel it. And I'm like, oh, just get through it. And then I couldn't feel it. And then it was just a sensation of it all.
Oh, of course you could. It's like someone cutting your face up, whether it's numbed or not. So gross. I'd have to be knocked out. I'd be like, nah, fucking put me out, mate. I'll be the biggest baby ever.
It was funny because I have this thing I say. So, like, sometimes when planes go through turbulence or when they land, I have this little thing in my head. I don't know why, but it works. I just go, bread and butter, 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 to try and just get my mind off it and not focus on it. And so I was doing that while she was digging into my lip and taking shit out. It's just like bread and butter, bread and butter, bread and butter. And the same when she was cutting into my gum too. But then the stitching of it too, it's just like, oh, it's a bit gross. So I'll find out about them in a couple of weeks.
A couple of weeks? They're taking their fucking sweet time, aren't they?
No, they're trying to clone me, I think. I also binged watched The Girl from Plainsville.
Oh, recently. Sure. Yeah.
It's very good. I think it's Dakota Fanning's sister.
It is.
Yeah. She's incredible. Like, even physically, she looks exactly like the chick. I can't even remember her name. And she acts very well in it as well. So it's about the chick who sent those messages to her boyfriend who wanted to kill himself and was encouraging him to kill himself. And
she was in the movies with Angelina Jolie too. She plays the younger, you know, the one, Maleficent. Have you seen the Maleficents?
Oh, is that her?
Yeah.
I love Maleficent.
Yeah.
It's magnificent.
The second one wasn't as great, but I love the
It's first enjoyable. One. Yeah. Yeah. And Angelina Jolie, is there a better person to play?
Oh, look, digressing, but have you seen it? It's on Netflix at the moment, Those Who Wish Me Dead with Angelina Jolie in?
No, but I've heard of it, yeah.
It's just come out. So, and do you know who, and I didn't even know this, so I took my nan to see it 12 months ago, and Tyler missed out because he had to work, and it's an action movie, so it's his kind of film. I'm not a massive Angelina Jolie fan, but nan really wanted to see it, so I took her to see it, and I loved it. It was insanely good. Then after, when we went to watch it this week and we got Link to watch it with us, and Tyler had seen it for the first time, I realised it was by the guy who did Yellowstone. He wrote and directed it.
Oh, cool.
So you know how much I love him from the Yellowstones, but if you want a really good movie to watch.
Yeah, I have seen it come up a few times, but I've never ventured.
It's excellent.
All right. How's your week been?
Look, my week's been good. I did make a couple of notes about the things I wanted to talk about, and fuck me, I can't find it. Oh, okay. So I've been reading another amazing book that I just finished. And I know we've been banging on about the books I've been reading lately, but I do like to give a recommendation because it's hard to find good books sometimes.
Yeah, it's your jam. You talk about whatever you want.
So I just finished Christian White, who's an Aussie author, mind you, The Wife and the Widow. I finished his debut book, The Nowhere Child, a couple of weeks ago. Gave it a respectable 3.5 stars. I thought it was great. But this new one, which is his second book, was insanely good. 5 stars all the way, baby. 5 out of 5. So I loved it.
That's a high rating. What was the other thing we rated recently? And they were getting like 3.1 star. Was it a book?
Out of 5.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe it was wine, actually.
Yeah, maybe it was. And the other thing I wanted to mention is my house, your house.
Oh.
The other thing I wanted to mention was my new obsession, which is with, surprisingly, herbal tea.
Oh. Very holistic of
you. So I started drinking it to try to stop snacking. It was a strategy. I was like, I'm getting married soon. I do love a good snack. I get very hangry. Tyler says you need to feed me like every 3 to 4 hours because I'm a little bit like a gremlin, but in reverse. So you have to feed me regularly. And so I snack a lot because working from home, you know how easy it is to do. You go to the fridge in between meetings. It's just a piece of piss. So I started replacing my snacks with herbal tea. Now I'm obsessed. I drink like 3 to 4 cups a day.
What is your go-to herbal tea at the moment?
Look, it's a green tea infusion.
Oh.
Which has a bunch of other stuff that I can't really recall quite now. It's got quite
fruits.
Yes, it's fruity. But I'm also really partial to the chamomile and spearmint.
Okay.
Yeah.
I always found a peppermint tea that made my tummy a bit funny.
I like peppermint tea, but it hasn't helped me lose any weight, so it really hasn't done.
How long have you been doing it, though?
About a month.
Oh, okay.
I'm still snacking.
You're going to go this week?
No, I'm still snacking. Yeah. But it's really ramped up the last week. Now I'm having like 3 to 4 glasses a day, and I'm always having one cups I'm in, and then I'm having one before bed. So
do you know when
I'm obsessed?
My boss, who was Chinese, he had told me that they used to in China they wash their dishes with green tea leaves in there because it lifts the fat off the product, off the plates and shit like that. And so it's meant to be quite good for your digestion. Because it sort of removes the fats and then you'd sort of either piss it out or it goes into your fecal matter.
Well, that's great to hear, but I don't feel any skinnier. And because of the fucking rain, I haven't walked at all this week.
I know, it has been miserable, hasn't it?
And I hate going to the gym. I just love a really long walk in the morning and I fucking can't do it because of this dumb weather. It's pissing me off.
And I think we should both be sharing what we did this morning.
Oh my god! I can't believe I forgot about it.
Eurovision,
of course, of course. We got up at the crack of motherfucking dawn
and watched the live one, which was great because we missed the first one. We saw the results come in on the first one. I've got it recording. I think it's on tonight, so you can record it on SBS. Or
well, see, now I've seen it, I'm not as keen. But see, what happened for me?
No, not this one. The first semi.
Yeah, the first one. Yeah. I know. I mean, but see, I saw the end of it, so I got up. Because I'm normally up about 5 anyway to go for my walk. And then I got up on Wednesday hoping that I could walk, but it was pissing down. And then by the time I realised it was on, I went on my phone for a bit and then I was like, oh, fuck, Eurovision's on. And I think I got in there at about maybe 6:20 or something like that. So I saw the last bit of it and I was kicking myself over it. And then I was going to turn it off when they got to the voting. But I was like, I'm going to find out anyway. I'm going to see it on the internet. And it's going to look at me. So I may as well watch it and see rather than seeing it anyway, but not actually being able to watch it.
Yeah. That's we came to that realization too a couple of years ago. Like we'd try and not watch it or try and not find any results. And then you scroll through your feed and it just pops up and you're like, oh, fuck. Yeah. So yeah, we don't care now. Just try and watch it live when we can.
How good was it though? It was so much fun.
It
was awesome.
It was good. And that's only, and the thing I love, it's like a 2-hour special for the semis, but the grand final's like 4 hours of pure Eurovision.
Oh my God, I'm so pumped. I cannot wait for Sunday. I'm so excited. Like I'm actually sacrificing my birthday drinks. I've said to everyone who's coming out on Saturday night, I'm like, I'm not going out for many drinks. I hope you know, I've got to get up really early on Sunday morning for Eurovision. I can't be hungover. Just one bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Maybe 1.5.
Just make it 2. Yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to it as well. But I will rewatch the first one because I didn't see any of the acts. And so I want to see some of the acts that actually didn't get through as well. All right, you stupid bitch. So I started last week. Why don't you take it away with your story about the delightful little orphan Annie? I mean, Black.
She's not really a fucking orphan. Oh, actually, she is. She totally is an orphan. Ah, there you go.
She has her parents.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about Orphan Black, which is a show that I was massively obsessed with for a little while, And I was watching it when it first came out, and I was at the stage where I was watching it episode for episode. It aired in 2013. And then I got to season four. Season five started. I watched the first couple of episodes, and it started to get a little bit tough to watch. The storyline was really intense. And I just, you know, when you're watching episode from episode, sometimes you just lose interest a little bit.
Yeah.
So I never finished episode five. And I've talked before, I mean, season five.
So when you say intense, do you mean like Handmaid's Tale intense?
No. Or? Oh, there's maybe a small amount of that. Nowhere near the level of Handmaid's Tale. But the story was just, at times it can get a bit scientific. And I just didn't like where the story was heading. So it just didn't keep my interest, because if I was binging it, I might have maintained it. But because I had to wait each week for an episode, you know how sometimes once you miss one, it's sometimes hard to catch up, yeah. Especially if you're not super invested again. Anyway, so season one is by far the best. And Tyler and I do this thing where we list our shows and we try to figure out and we have a bit of a trade-off. And so
I have like Tinder for TV shows.
Yeah. So a while ago, we decided on Orphan Black, and I said to him, watch the first episode. If you're not hooked by the first episode, we will totally watch something else. And he's like, okay. So we started watching the first episode. And I better just – let me just talk about a few facts first before I get into a bit of a story behind it. Mm-hmm. So I'm in the episode, so let me just go out there. So the main actress in it is Tatiana Maslany.
Tatiana.
Yes, love her. She's about to be the new She-Hulk in a TV series, okay. I believe. Yeah. So a Marvel TV series. It's going to have Mark Ruffalo in it as the normal Hulk, yeah. But she's going to be the lead character. I haven't really seen her in anything else since she was in an episode of Parks and Recs, actually, to be fair. But I haven't really, a couple of episodes, I haven't really seen her in anything else, but I absolutely adore her. And like anytime she comes into something, I will absolutely see it just because she's in it, because that's how amazing I think she is.
Okay.
So the story is sci-fi. The genre, how they refer to it, is science fiction and biopunk.
Oh.
In the intro, when they refer to her as a character, they talk about her being, you know, a British punk con artist.
Oh, she's British. I thought Tatiana may have been Russian.
Look, she is. She's British. Actually, I'm not sure if that's her actual nationality, because her foster brother, she's from Canada. Oh, she's Canadian as well. There you go. So a lot of them are Canadian because they're from, it's filmed in Toronto, it's filmed in Canada. But she has an English accent, a very good English accent, I think, throughout the show. So the premise is, this is how it starts, right? This is the very first episode, and this is how the show kicks off. But basically, she's single mum. She's had a bit of a, you know, crazy hard life. She was a foster child from very, very young, brought up in a foster family. And her foster mother, they call her Mrs. S or S. And so she's been in trouble with the law. She's a bit on the run. She's just done a bit of time, and she's just sort of at loose ends. And so the foster mother took custody of the daughter, and the daughter's about 8 or 9. She takes custody and says, you need to go and figure yourself out. You need to sort your life out, and don't come back to me to try to see your daughter until you've got your shit together, basically. So she goes off, spends a couple of years away from her, gets on the drugs, does some petty crime, yada, yada, yada. She finally decides she wants to get her life back together, and she's trying to convince Mrs. S to let her back into the household to see her daughter. And she said, no, you've got to get a job. You've got to have some money. You've got to actually get your shit together. You've been away for a couple of years. I'm not going to let you see her till you've sorted that out. So she's on this train platform, and she's there, and she's, you know, punk rock goth looking, and she stood there and she sees this woman on the other side of the train platform, and she looks really familiar to her. And then the woman just sort of turns, looks her full on, and you see that they look exactly the same. And then the woman just jumps off the platform and a train just flies past.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's in about probably the first 10 minutes of the show.
I can see how it grabs you. Yeah.
Yes. So then you're like, what the actual fuck? So then she runs over and she's like in complete shock, because she's just saw this woman, you know, kill herself in front of her, and it's quite traumatic. And then she's left her shoes and her jackets folded up nicely on the platform, and then her wallet's there. So she goes and grabs the wallet because she thinks she's maybe hallucinating a little bit, like maybe her eyes are playing tricks on her. So she doesn't think the woman looks exactly like her when she opens the ID.
Is there many people, other people around, or is it just them two?
It's just them.
Right.
Yeah. So she opens her wallet and there's this, all these IDs and they look exactly alike. So she's like, fuck, well.
What the fuck, yeah.
The clothes are expensive, the shoes are expensive, her address is in her wallet, and she's a con artist, so she's used to doing crime to get money. So she goes, fuck it, I'm going to check out this woman's house and see what I can potentially, you know, maybe rip off. So she goes to the house, and then what happens is she gets intertwined in her life from then on. And I'm really conscious of not giving out too many spoilers because it's one of those shows that you keep watching because you're like, what the actual fuck is going on?
Yeah, and you want to get people's interest piqued so they watch it, yeah.
Yeah, and so when she goes to the house, she does find out that the woman is actually a senior police detective. So she's at the door. She starts sort of settling into the house. You know, she comes in and she's, you know, reveling in the fact that she doesn't have a place to stay before that. And then she's living a life, eating her food, thinking it's grand, drinking her top shelf alcohol. And then someone knocks at the door and it's the partner of the police detective. No one knows she's dead, saying, you got to fucking get on this job. They're chasing this big, massive crime syndicate thing and he needs her. And she's got to pretend
that she's
the copper because he's a copper and he's going to, like, arrest her if he finds out she's impersonating someone.
And a police officer at that, yeah.
Exactly. So then that continues. So then she's stuck and she's in the middle of all this. And a lot of the show is about her being in situations where she can't get out of. And then the other big piece of that is that she's the foster child and she grew up in a foster home and her foster brother, Felix, is a queer man who is an artist.
I'm listening.
Yeah, you would absolutely love the character. The thing about Orphan Black is that they write the characters so well that you fall in love with them and you're like, oh my God, I want to be friends with them. That's how cool they are. So he drinks, he takes drugs, he's a real party dog, but absolutely idolizes Sarah, like adores her, will do anything for her. And they're really, really close. They were foster kids since they were quite young.
Right.
So they're very, very close. So then,
connection.
Exactly. And he remains in the series the entire time. And then another character that comes in a little bit down the track, he ends up finding one of his half-siblings, and she comes into it. She's in there for a couple of seasons, and she's an insane character. She's one of my favourite characters as well. I love her. But Tyler and I watched the whole series up to season. So I got a few episodes into season 5 and then I gave up, and then we did watch season 5 and I will say that it does come together in the end. You do have to persevere a little bit. There's definitely some shocking full-on scenes in it that are like, like that keep you going. It's not completely, you know, strung out or boring.
And 5 seasons, you said.
Yeah. And I think about, 15, 20 episodes a season. It's one of those really long ones.
Yeah. Like a Lost thing where it's a shit ton of, yeah.
It is. So it's definitely an investment of time. You know, you're really going to have to commit to it, but it's not hard to commit to. Like, we got to the point where we'd come home and we'd be like, off and back.
Chuck it on. Yeah,
we've watched episode after episode.
Hour-long episodes?
About 45 minutes, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's all set in Canada. Such a great show. The other part of it, you know, it has a massive gay fan base because not only Felix is such an insane character, is so great, but they have this massive romance between two characters. It's a big love story that Tyler and I were completely invested in too, between two women, Delphine and Cosma. And
I love it when a TV show has a relationship that you're rooting for, or you think, what are you doing with them, or whatever. You know, as I said, you're invested.
And they're both scientists. There is quite a bit of science in it. Sometimes, you know, you really got to follow that, what's going on with it, but certainly not in a way that you're like, oh, fuck, I can't keep up and I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I need to mention, because Vinny will love this, Mrs. S, or S, which is the foster mother who keeps the daughter and she remains in the series, she's an Irish singer and actress, Maria Doyle Kennedy.
Okay.
Do you know her from that name?
No. Should I?
She's in The Commitments.
Has she got dark hair?
Yeah, so she's a singer and actress. She's also in Outlander. She's in Father Ted. I never watched Father Ted, but I thought.
Is she in? She maybe also have been in Queer as Folk, the UK version, if it's the one I'm thinking of. Do you know the songs from The Commitments? Do you know the movie well?
No, but if there are any sung by females, she would totally be the singer because she's got an amazing voice.
There was three females in it, but there's only one of them that I've seen continuing on in movies and that, and that's a dark-haired one. I can't stand the rain against my window. I think if it's her.
Okay, well, maybe. But
what's her name?
It is Maria Doyle Kennedy.
Yeah,
she's such a great character. And then she's an Outlander as well. Have you watched any Outlander?
No.
Love it. It's going to be one of my pop culture episodes coming up. But this one's really hard because I can't give too much information out without giving too many spoilers. And a lot of the content happens in episode 3 of season 1. But if there's people listening who really want to watch it, I don't want to give that up. I want them to go, oh, this sounds crazy, and watch it and then be just as shocked as I was, because I had no idea what I was getting into when I started watching. Someone mentioned or had read something about it. And I was like, what the fuck is happening here? And that was pretty much my whole thoughts the whole way through it.
Well, look, I haven't seen it. I'll say something that I know, which I don't think is too much of a spoiler. I think anyone who's sort of read the synopsis or anything, she's a clone, right?
Right. Okay. Well, if you already knew that, then that is, and you do find that out in, like I said, the third episode of season 1.
Yeah.
But it's much, much more than that. It's not just about these clones, you know, and Tatiana Maslany plays all the clones. And I sent
Maslany.
I sent you a photo earlier that just showed you the main characters that she plays. So at any one time, there's at least 6 main clones in a single episode, sometimes even more. So in every episode, like consistently there was 5 or 6. So she would have to take on so many of these characters, and she plays them. And Tyler and I just marveled at it so many times. We would say, you don't even think it's her. She plays them so well. You have to remind yourself constantly, this is the one actress playing all these roles. She does it so well. You have to watch it. I'm begging you. And Vinny will be in it, I think, just for the fact that the Irish chick's in it.
I think you've sold it to him already just through that. And any awards for her acting or anything?
Yes. So she did end up getting an Emmy in the end, because there was a bit of, there was a bit of controversy over it. Yes, because she didn't get nominated originally. Wow. But in the end, she won the Primetime Emmy. Hang on. She received a nomination for Outstanding Lead Actress in a Drama Series at both the 65th and the 66th Primetime Emmy Awards.
And a nomination is pretty good recognition anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, but then they said it was an outrageous, one reporter called it an outrageous oversight that she didn't get the award. And then she got it. Hold on. And she won in 2016.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Tatiana.
The real name, sorry.
Tatiana Maslany, I think it is.
That's her name. I just typed in Tatiana.
And Sarah Manning is the character.
Do you know who she looks like to me? She looks slightly like that Michelle Wolf, the comedian.
Oh, a little bit. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Maybe just the hair. And they're both Canadian too, I think.
Yeah, I can see that a little bit, actually.
I've just Googled her, and that's showing pictures of her as She-Hulk.
Oh, really? I haven't actually seen those. You'll have to put those in the post. But the other thing, they've just announced this year, earlier in April, that they're doing a spin-off called Orphan Black Echoes. They haven't released a lot of information because I don't think they've progressed it that far. It's definitely going to be released in 2023. They're talking about being on AMC. And they haven't confirmed or denied if any of the original characters are coming back, and what they have said is that it's set in the not-too-distant future, after the original Orphan Black finished.
Okay.
So I'm so hoping that they bring back the original cast members, but it'll be interesting to see.
Calling it Echoes sounds cool, like it's going to be reverberations of something.
But I've read a few articles in the past of her, like interviews with her about doing the show, and she talks about how much it took from her to have to change and be these characters and give so much to those roles in such a long amount of episodes as well, not just, you know, the amount of characters that she played. In the end, there were 274 clones listed in the series. Now, that's not all the characters that she played, but I think it got close to, like, you know, like almost 100 clones she ended up playing.
Wow. Yeah, that's hard. Like, you hear of those method actors that stay in their character the whole time so they don't lose anything. And she's got to fucking switch all the fucking time.
Yeah, but she does it seamlessly. It's so good. Like, you have to see it just for that.
Is it always just one other clone plus her, the main character, in an episode? Or is there sometimes three or four? Or
yeah, that's what I was saying before, that sometimes there's up to six an episode.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
So but in a normal episode, you'd probably see three or four in just one average episode at least.
Which is still pretty fucking hectic, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes there might just be two. In the first one, the first couple of episodes, there's only two because it's only her and Beth.
Okay.
It's not till the third one you find out there's a third one. Yeah, yeah, so there's only two from the first two episodes.
Cool. My interest is piqued.
Yeah, you have to watch it, okay? Okay, so I think that's everything that I had to talk about that. But over to you. Let's talk about It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah, so you've heard of this comedy show before, sitcom, situation comedy.
Yes, I had a party one time based on an episode, remember?
Oh, yes, the white shirt party.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the only episode. People. It didn't involve me getting my tits out.
You think it would. Maybe you did get your tits out at one point, though. I wouldn't be surprised. Vinny probably definitely got his tits out at one point.
Yes, he definitely would have. I still haven't seen that episode yet.
Okay.
But. So, yeah, to explain how I got into It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, because I'd heard about it and I'd seen it, and I think I'd seen that it got nominated for awards, but it didn't win any either. The guy at work, another fellow named Sean, told me about it. This would have been in probably 2015, 16, 17 maybe, saying he thought I would really enjoy this show. Mm. But it never came up, or, like, you know, and my OCD means that I have to watch a series from the very first episode on the very first season and continue throughout the whole fucking series. That way I can't just jump in halfway.
Oh, my God, totally me. I can't watch the Marvels. I have to watch them. We're currently watching them from the beginning to the end because Tyler wants me to go see the new Thor and the new Doctor Strange. And I'm like, I have to watch all of them then. I can't just jump in.
I need to know what the shit's going on. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and it was never on any streaming platforms, but then when we got Disney, I saw that it was on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
And so it was only, we've had Disney for about a year now, but it was only probably about February or March this year. I thought, fuck it. I'll give it a go. I was sitting there twiddling my thumbs. What the fuck am I going to watch? You know, that old chestnut when you're searching 700,000 shows.
You just can't decide.
So I put it on. It's easy viewing. It's like 20, 22-minute episodes. So, you know, you don't have to commit to too much time or attention. And it's also like any comedy. Like it is one where you could start watching at any point and sort of pick up what's going on. There's no continuity in the big storylines. You know, there is some continuity, but it's not the whole point of the show.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I started watching it and, you know, I fucking loved it. And I'm just going to refer to it as Sunny moving forward because I'm not going to keep going. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Does it have an abbreviation where they call it like IASIP?
I think that's people,
a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah, they call it that. They'll say It's Always Sunny or Philadelphia or Sunny or It's Always Sunny in. So, yeah, we'll just call it Sunny. But basically, it's a show that is everything that your standard sitcom is not. And it goes out of its way to make sure that that's the case. Sure. So they poke fun at the norm of what fucking, I guess, you know, the TV producers are forcing down our throats with your friends and your Will and Grace and all that shit, which I all love, all of those as well, but it's just a complete opposite of that. And it's been pretty successful. So it first premiered in 2005, and it currently has 15 seasons available to stream on Disney Plus.
I was going to say there's a shit ton of seasons. I was going to say 10, but 15, that's even more than what I thought.
And there's meant to be a season 16 starting later this year. And it's actually been renewed up to season 18. But the cast or the producers and the writers and shit are like, look, we're not going to commit to 18 seasons. We'll do one season at a time because what else the fuck can we do?
Yeah. Are two of them married? I have a feeling that in real life, they're married in real life. But they're sister and brother on the show, aren't they?
No, so there's... I'll get to that as well. But yeah, Dee's one the sister of one of the characters, but she's married to the best friend of her twin brother, basically. Okay. Not in the show, but in real life. So yeah, so they're not committing to another three seasons. They're just taking it a season at a time. And I'm currently up to season 9, but I have to say they go to town on some issues, like some sensitive issues and shit like that. So, and especially in the earlier seasons where you're just like, that's hilarious, but
Is it a bit like South Park?
Yeah, in the sense of like the mega cringe and the stuff that they tackle, there's a lot of intelligence behind it, but it's just like, oh, you know, you can't say that or you can, you know, you can't do that, but it's all in good fun.
Just so the texting Tyler to say, can you bring another beer?
Nice. So the show is set around five main characters, as they're known as the gang, and it's mainly set in Paddy's Pub in South Philadelphia.
Yep.
It's owned and operated by the members of the said gang. And the pub's a bit of a dive. It's not really successful. And the group are complete misfits. They drink excessively. They sniff petrol fumes and spray paint to get high.
I was about to say they sound like us, but we don't. We drink excessively, but we don't sniff petrol.
Yeah. And that's what they do. And they sort of do this in like this one episode, Dee's got her hand stuck in the wall trying to catch this rat because she thinks she's smarter than everyone, but she gets stuck to the trap and they're like all talking around her and sort of trying to get this rat, and they pick up a fuel can. One's like, oh, what's this? Oh, just have a sniff of this, and has a sniff. And then the other guy's like, oh, I'll just check that out. Yeah, no, that's definitely unleaded. Yeah. And D's down on the ground. She's like, oh, I haven't done that. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. And then they just pass a petrol can around each other sniffing.
Is that what they really do in Philadelphia? I don't think people, if you're listening, tell us if that's what you do to have fun.
I don't think it's what they do in Philadelphia. I think it's just what maybe people looking for cheap kicks do anywhere. You know, like I don't think it's Philadelphia specific. They're super rude, cruel, selfish, and they're complete narcissists and act that way to each other. Like they're not friendly at all to each other, but they're the gang. They hatch elaborate plans that end up with them seeking vengeance on each other or just setting the other one up to fail miserably. Like you don't actually like any of the characters. You don't like any of the characters in it. Like, you know, oh, he's amazing. Oh, she's so great and blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, you love Rachel and Phoebe's just so adorable.
See, that's hard for me because I need a character. That's why I couldn't get into Breaking Bad, because I just found him pathetic and repulsive.
Look, you know, and when I watch Seinfeld, I hate George, and George is quite funny and he's not meant to be liked. Nice head, bitch. But these guys aren't that you hate them in that sense. It's weird. Yeah. Like, I like a couple of them and I find them hilarious. Mm. But, like, to know as a person, you're just like, I don't know. It's just brilliant the way they acted as well. And you're not laughing at their cruelty that they're causing to each other as such, but more so just how much of an arsehole they are. You're just like, fucking prick. You know, that type of
humor.
So even if they are on the same page as each other in an episode, they'll dump any one of the members along the way without any concern or care, just to make sure that they get what they want. It's hilarious. I find it hilarious. But anyway, I'll give you a quick overview of the characters. So there's five main characters. There's Mac, who's played by Rob McElhenney, who created the show and does other stuff with it, like writes and produces and directs and shit. We find out in an episode of their high school reunion where they all go back to high school because they went to high school together. His actual name is Ronald McDonald. But you don't know about that at first, so he puts his name on. That's why he gets so much shit. And he's one of the co-owners of Paddy's Pub and also acts as the bouncer by his own promotion. And he calls himself the sheriff of the pub and thinks he has mad karate skills and shit, but he does not.
Is that like, the little short guy or the tall guy?
It's one of the tall guys, and he's the one who's married. Yeah. The one who's married to D.
Yeah.
And he'll do all these. He brags about his hand-to-hand combat skills, like shit'll happen, and he'll just start doing this and shit. But he'll flee from any physical confrontation when it ever happens. And he's usually depicted as the most cowardly of the gang. There's Dennis, who's played by Glenn Howerton. He's also a co-owner of the pub, and he's probably the most psychopathic of the group. So some words that would describe him is definitely narcissistic, superficial, hypersexual, selfish, and abrasive. He's absolutely horrendous towards women, including his twin sister, Dee. He treats them like sex objects and can be quite sort of predatory in nature sometimes. And he's often depicted trying to seduce various women. And when he is successful, he'll end up like talking to them in this sort of smooth sort of way, but just gaslighting them or emotionally abusing them. And then when he actually bags them and has sex with them, he'll then just cut them off completely and, you know, shut them out and shit. He's a horrible person, but there is a lot of humor, I guess, the way it comes across.
Yeah.
At times, it's also strongly hinted that he may be a serial killer, though that's never really delved into anything. And he always refers to himself as the Golden God. He's like, I'm the Golden God. you got his twin sister, Deandra, or who they call Sweet D, and she's played by Caitlin Olsen, and she's married to Mac in real life, Rog McEldry.
Yeah.
She gets pregnant one season, they write it into the script, and everyone's just completely terrible to her when she's walking around pregnant, like, who the fuck? Oh, that's sick. Who rooted you? And she's an attractive woman, but they're just absolutely vile to her. And she ends up just sort of going into labor, and then they sort of get a bit all paternal around the fact she's going into labor. But she just gives the baby away to a transgender friend who can't have kids, which is nice. But as I said earlier, there's a lot of some of the jokes that surround that stuff. You're just like, oh, God, it's hilarious, but I feel like I should not be laughing at this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So she's a waitress at the pub, and she's terrible at her job. She thinks she's hilarious, but no one finds her funny at all. She'll try and say, she'll send little zingers to some of the people, and they're just all like giving her a sign. I say, whatever. Except for one episode, but I'll get to that later on, where she is hilarious, or where people find her hilarious. So she's referred to as a bird by the gang because of her mannerisms. And she actually probably gets the worst stick out of all of them throughout the show. So the gang really rip her to shreds most episodes, and they get physically sick if there's any reference to her sexuality or anything like that. She does not hold any ownership stake in the bar, perhaps due to the gang's various prejudices against her, but also in part to her desire to become a professional actress / comedian, an ambition that she consistently fails to achieve due to her debilitating stage fright and a general lack of any apparent talent. So in multiple episodes, it's referenced that Dee has set her college roommate on fire as well from the past. And she's often portrayed as the most physically violent in the group. But I do get a few good laughs off of Dee. There's Charlie, and he's probably the most familiar face that you'd see out of the series. He was in Horrible Bosses. I think he was in Christmas Party, I think. Yeah, he's the short dude.
Yeah.
So he's played by Charlie Day, and he's probably my favourite out of all the characters. He's actually, I think, a bit of a genius in real life. Not the character, but in real life. The character's a fucking idiot who is, like, legitimately nuts and a bit gross, as in, like, grubby gross. Yeah, so he's, so Charlie is just gross and grubby gross. He was a co-owner of Paddy's Pub, but he traded his investment for goods and services, which was half a sandwich and other undisclosed compensation. He's a childhood friend of Mac and a high school friend of Dennis and Dee, and he is a janitor at the pub. They call him Charlie Work. He isn't the brightest spark and is just a proper grot. Like, he'll eat stuff that's not fit for human consumption. He lives in a hole of a place that is vermin infested, has dirt up all on the walls and shit. And he actually shares a fold-out couch with Frank, who's the last character. It's just gross but hilarious. He's the one I send you the vid of doing that dance while Dennis was stripping balls off cleaning fumes. Yeah. And he's like, pulls his eyes out of Dennis, eats them, and then. He's also very loud. He yells all the time, and it's pretty much the reason I can't watch this in bed while Vinny's trying to sleep, because he just keeps yelling all the time. But fuck, I love him though. And he's not as malicious as the others, but he's obsessed with the character that's called the waitress. That's her actual name in the show, and she's been in it for 9 seasons too. Let's refer to her as the waitress who wants nothing to do with him. And he also whips out a good ditty every now and then. He's quite musical.
So you're up to season 9, did you say?
Season 9. Yeah, it's so good. So finally we have Frank played by...
I know who Frank is.
Yes. So, and that's the other thing I'll say with the seasons too is they the episodes are only 22 minutes long. The first couple of seasons have about 15 episodes or so, but then after that, for a string of them, there's only 10 episodes each season, so it's easier to fly through. Frank is played by Danny DeVito. He comes into the show in the second season. He's the legal father of Dennis and Dee. But we find out that he's actually not their biological father. He used to be a successful businessman who did a lot of fucking illegal shit to get his money. But he chose to abandon that license, abandon that life and redeem himself after leaving his whore wife. And he has since embraced his feral nature and describes himself as fringe class. But despite his substantial financial resources, so he's like a millionaire, he's got shit tons of money, he chooses to share a decrepit studio apartment on a fold-out bed with Charlie. They sleep together in this bed. It's fucking bad. And he's like, Frank is like an absolute pig. So if you go over all the characters, you'd have Mac, who thinks he's this warrior. Then there's Dennis, who thinks he's this sort of love fiend and like a massive major...
Serial killer.
But a serial killer. Dee, who thinks she's hilarious and a great actor, but she's not. Charlie's just fucking nuts. And then Frank, who I'll just say is an absolute pig. Like, he'll just be in the middle of eating shit and there's just food all over his mouth and he's just talking like normal and stuff. Like, the acting in it is sublime, though. They just do it all so convincingly.
Yeah.
But, and also, he ends up actually being Charlie's biological father because he had a one-night stand with Charlie's mother and Charlie never knew his dad, so... The pair also like to forage around naked in sewers for valuables.
So. Oh, my God. So I'm going to interrupt you there. Have you seen The Heat with Melissa McCarthy and Sandra Bullock in?
Yes. Yes.
Ages ago? Oh, okay. Then you probably won't remember it. But Dee's in it. She has a really thick Russian accent.
Oh, really?
And she plays this character that they go to, like, this slum house and she's there and... She's so good in it. She's really good
she's
in it.
Also
I love
in
that
a,
movie.
She's also in a new TV series out at the... Well, it was new a couple of years ago where
the
I
Mickey.
Think she's the auntie and she looks
the
after
Mickey.
The kids.
Yeah,
yeah,
it went for 3 seasons because I wanted to watch it, but you couldn't get it in Australia for a while. Mm. I think you can... It might even be on Disney. No, I think it's a bit too raunchy for Disney.
I think it's
yeah.
on Binge. Yeah.
Yes, I think you're right. And I would totally watch it, but... When I hear that shows get cancelled too, it bothers me because I'm like, I need a proper ending. Like, I watched Slumtown.
Yeah.
Stumptown, sorry. And that was awesome. And then they cut it because of COVID and then they couldn't bring all the actors together and blah, blah, blah. And it was
yeah.
such a great show.
I know. I think I've said it to you before, but Pushing Daisies, that was Ooh. The same thing. They'd had 2 seasons of that and it got sort of fucked over by the writer's strike. There's also a heap of recurring characters that come throughout the series, and they're pretty much in every series, not in every episode, but in a few of the episodes. There's and they're also generally pretty fucked up. There's an incestuous family called the McPoyles who don't like to sleep outside their bloodline. There's 2 brothers that appear all the time. They're gross as fuck, but the acting is just impeccable.
I
and
bet
like,
there's a lot of they'd have a lot of good actor friends too, so there'd be a
yes,
lot of people
cameo
that you're like, oh shit, they're in blah blah or they're
yeah.
in this or...
And I tell you what, if there's and I haven't even googled this, but there'd be blooper reels aplenty from the shit because the shit they're doing is just so whack. You know that they'd fucking be pissing themselves laughing.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, there's the McCoyles who don't like to sleep outside their bloodline. And there's 2 brothers that appear all the time. And the brothers hook up with each other. Not, you don't see them hook up, but they insinuate about it and shit. It's comedic gold. The acting is so good. There's a wedding episode where one of the McBoyle brothers is marrying outside the bloodline, and they have to try and get the gang to help stop the wedding because they don't want him brooding someone that's not in the family. And it basically just turns into a zombie apocalypse. It's fucking hilarious. There's the waitress who I was referring to before, who Charlie's obsessed with. And fun fact, she's actually married to Charlie in real life as well.
Oh, I know who she is. She's a nigger. Because I knew who Charlie is married to in real life.
Yeah, and she's a blonde.
And I knew she was also in it, but I didn't realise that that was... She's in heaps of shit too.
Yes.
But she's a big character in New Girl, and I love New Girl.
She's pretty good. He stalks her and harasses her all the time to go out with her. And pretty much every episode that she's in with him, she's like, okay, if I do this, you have to promise me that you will never touch me again. You will never call me Rara, right? And he's like, yeah, of course.
And they've actually been married for a really long time too, like from when they were quite young, I think. And they've got a couple of kids, but they've been married for ages.
Oh, that's nice. I like that.
Yeah.
And now they work together too. But yeah, and then the next time he sees her, he's fucking stalking her again. The final side character they'll mention, because there's a few, is Cricket, who becomes Rickety Cricket. He first comes into the show as a priest, but he was a former high school friend of the gang and always had a crush on Dee. So when he sees them, he gives up the faith for another chance to get love with Dee. She denies him again, and his life just goes way off the rails after that. So he's a regular in the show, and every time you see him, he just ends up more fucked up than the last time you see him. Like, he's become a crack addict, homeless, he's on heroin, he gets a shit beaten out of him all the time. He'll turn up. The last episode I saw him in, half his face is like all burnt and scarred and shit like that. He just becomes more and more decrepit, and they just call him Rickety Cricket every time they see him. So to finish up, I just want to mention some funny episodes and moments, and ones that show how brutal the gang are to Dee in particular, is an episode called The Gang Broke Dee. And it starts with them sitting in the pub, and they're throwing insults at Dee about her being a bird and looking like a bird and all this shit. She's just like, meh. She looks like shit. She hasn't washed or anything. She's just done. Like, nothing hurts her anymore. She's not showering. They've broken her. She's just embracing the self-loathing that the guys have beaten her into her over the years. And they say, see how fucked up she is, and they get a bit concerned because she's just not reacting to anything. So they want to help her get out of her funk. So they turn up to her house one day, and she's laying on the couch with a fucking cigarette, door completely wide open. They're like, what the fuck's going on? She's like, eh. So they sign her up for an open mic night for a comedy. Anyway, she goes up there. She doesn't throw up on stage because she's just so over it and stuff. And she just starts mumbling about her life being so shit. And people are laughing. People are finding her hilarious for all the shit she's just spouting. And she ends up getting a gig as the opener for another comedian. Like, you know, the guy's name's a big light, so this is in the little font underneath. But then after a couple of weeks, it ends up she's the opener. She's the main name, and the guy that she was opening for, is opening for her. She goes through a couple of... agents. She gets this new agent who gets her a gig on like a Jimmy Fallon type show in New York, takes her up in a plane, flies her, starts talking to her about, you know, how big this gig is going to be and blah, blah, blah. And she realizes throughout the show too, she's like, fuck off everyone. I don't actually need you. I've been able to do this by myself. You just can all fuck off. She writes them all off. She gets up in the plane, she's flying around in the plane, she lands, and then she starts getting nervous about the show. She's starting to sort of get the bleh, bleh, throw ups again. And then she goes to the curtains, and the curtains open, and it's just Patty's pub, and there's just all the gang there and all these friends. They just all start pissing themselves, laughing at her, just for her thinking that she'd made it when they'd set up this elaborate ruse the whole time. It's like fucking brutal. Oh, and that's how they get it back to normal. It's terrible. Another fave is the high school reunion ep, and you'd love this. That's where we find out that Mac is actually short for Ronald McDonald. And again, another example of how they want to go in and be cool as fuck with everyone else that was mean to them at high school. But then Dee gets hit on by one of the cool kids, and she just drops them all like a hot snot. She sat at the other table screaming abuse at them and just picking on them and shit like that. But then at the end, it all comes out. They all end up back together again because They're just losers, basically. And they do this dance for the crowd, and it's fucking hilarious. Speaking of dancing, there is also a scene in the Gang Buys a Boat episode where Dee mimics this dancing of this waving, you know, those wacky waving inflatable guys?
Yeah.
There's one of them on the end of the boat, and she's there dancing with it, like doing the same shit it's doing.
I think I've seen that on Men's and stuff.
Oh, fucking funny. And finally, the episode, The Gang Desperately Tries to Win an Award, is a show about how, it's about how the pub has never won an award, but it's a reference to how they've actually never won an Emmy. And it's one of those episodes where it really pokes fun at what the standard sitcom is and what actually, you know, would get through and win awards while their show, like South Park, would probably never win an award compared to The Simpsons or something.
Yeah.
And they do it, so they've been nominated but never won anyways. It's clever in the way they do it, that they'll visit other pubs that win awards, and it's basically like walking into another cheesy sitcom where the bartenders are funny and the patrons all laugh at them and they care about the waitress who's broken up with her boyfriend and all that shit. Overall, it's just wildly hilarious, extremely creative and downright watchable. The acting gets better and better too as they go on. It's really good, and I want you to watch it.
Okay, trade-off. I will watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but you have to watch Orphan Black, and I feel like I've had this conversation with you before and told you that you have to watch Orphan Black, and you've ignored me, so.
That was before the podcast, so it was about 6 years ago.
So you do remember?
I do recall something along those lines.
All right, complete trade-off. We've done this before. What did we trade off for last time?
Sex in the City and RuPaul's Drag Race.
No, it was Sex in the City and it was what the movie and the show of the documentary of Grey Gardens.
Yes, that's right.
Yes. Are you still watching Sex in the City?
No. I think I got about halfway through season one.
That's not enough.
I know. There's just so much. I've got to get through another six seasons of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Stupid Bitches Say What. We hope this episode of pop culture inspired you to go out and get started on a round of binging on Orphan Black and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Tune in next week or later this evening, lol, as we take you back in time. Sean will be delving into the mysterious story of Roanoke, the lost colony that disappeared without a trace. And I share my research on Salem and all things witchy. Don't forget... Oh my God, that was an excellent witch voice. Don't forget to catch up on the videos of Season 2, now available on YouTube.
Who's Tube?
Night, Stupid Bitches.
Who's Tube?
What?
No, I... Who's tube? Your tube. My tube. Your tube.
I was like, what did I say wrong? Sorry, I didn't get the joke. I was a bit slow on the uptake then.
That's all right. Good night, you stupid bitches.
Good night, stupid bitches. Good night.
Bye.
Yeah, that stupid bitch. He's a stupid bitch, what a stupid bitch, that stupid bitch.
What?
My son interrupting when he's just looking for socks.
You said they're in the sock drawer, darling.
They're in the sock bag. So I ball up his socks normally, but if I'm in rush to do the laundry, I put them in a sock bag and they all can fucking find their own fucking socks.
Nice, I like that.
Yeah, so I said it's in the sock bag. Of course, if you can't find socks in your drawer, then you go to the sock bag every time. That's how it works in this house, okay?